So imagine suddenly questioning if your company is one of the good guys. That's the pivot some folks at Palantir are finding themselves in right now. Intrigued yet?
You had me at existential crisis. I can't wait to dig into that, Alex.
Welcome to Hot Reload, everyone. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jamie. Today we're talking about everything from AI like Claude getting cozy with your apps to some unsettling news about data center emissions rivaling entire nations.
Plus, a worrying security breach involving Bitwad in CLI thanks to a certain ongoing supply chain attack. And of course, that dilemma over at Palantir, questioning their place on the moral compass.
Let's not waste any time. Kick it off, Alex. What's happening with these personalized app connections?
Big news, everyone. Anthropic's AI assistant, Claude, is stepping up its game, connecting directly to personal apps like Spotify, Uber Eats, and TurboTax.
That's interesting. So why should we care about Claude linking up with these apps right now?
Well, it's all about usability and integration. As our lives fill with various apps, having one assistant manage them intelligently could save users a lot of hassle.
Okay, but what's Anthropic doing exactly with this update?
Anthropic has added app connectors to Claude, allowing users to link personal apps like Spotify or TripAdvisor directly. This means Claude can now recommend songs or hiking trails right within your chat.
So they're kind of putting Claude in the middle of our daily routines.
Exactly. Previously, these kinds of connections were mostly work-focused, like handling Microsoft apps. But now it's about managing your life outside of work, too.
Connecting to daily life apps, how is this different from, say, what OpenAI is doing with ChatGPT?
Great question. OpenAI's ChatGPT also has connectors, but Anthropic emphasizes privacy. No data from these apps is used to train the models. They also ensure there are no sponsored answers influencing suggestions.
Wait, seriously, no ads encouraging me to buy the latest cereal on Instacart?
Nope. You get uncluttered results, ranked by usefulness for what you're asking. This transparency is crucial in building user trust.
That's a relief. So how do these connectors actually work for users?
Users can enable these new app connectors via the Customize tab in Claude's sidebar. Plus, the mobile version is still in beta, broadening future accessibility. And it's important to note the focus on user control.
Mobile beta, that means they're just testing the waters for now?
That's right. They're testing mobile capabilities while rolling out full access for desktop users. It's a cautious approach to ensure everything functions smoothly.
Got it. And what else should we know about using these connectors?
Here's the kicker. Claude won't just act on its own. It'll ask you to verify any purchase or reservation before proceeding using the app connector. It's about maintaining user agency.
Really? So it's like having a personal assistant with a double check habit.
Exactly. User consent is key. Claude respects your choices, confirming actions before committing any transactions. A good safety net for users?
Interesting approach. Any final thoughts on how this impacts the market?
By expanding into personal apps, Anthropic is pushing AI as a life management tool, not just a work one. It makes AI assistants more versatile and perhaps essential in daily life.
That's a lot to digest, but hey, speaking of impact, up next, we're diving into how the data center boom might produce more greenhouse gases than entire nations.
Today we're looking at something as invisible as air, but as heavy as an entire country, greenhouse gas emissions from the data center boom. It's growing faster than you can say cloud storage.
Wait, are you saying data centers are producing more emissions than countries?
Absolutely. Emissions from just 11 of these data center campuses might outpace Morocco's entire greenhouse gas output for 2024. That's more than 129 million tons a year.
Wow, that's kind of mind-boggling. Why are data centers so dirty? Aren't they just a bunch of servers?
That's part of it, but the real kicker is how they're powered. Many rely on behind-the-meter natural gas projects, bypassing traditional grids. These are like private power plants designed to fuel non-stop data crunching, specifically for AI giants like OpenAI, Meta, and Microsoft.
So they're making their own power instead of plugging into the grid.
Exactly. The infrastructure is set up to avoid delays and rising costs from public utilities. But this independence comes with a hefty carbon footprint. For example, XAI's turbines in Memphis are notorious for potential pollution. They could pump out around 6.4 million tons of CO2 per year per site.
And these are in the middle of communities, right?
Right in Memphis, where air pollution concerns sparked protests in the surrounding low-income neighborhoods. The situation got so heated, the EPA and even the NAACP got involved.
Okay, I get the protest now. But is this all due to poor turbine choices or what?
In part, yes. The push for rapid expansion means some data center operators are opting for less efficient turbines. High demand meets a shortage of superior technology, and the choice to go ahead with what's available hikes up emissions.
So, efficient turbines are just that hard to get?
Indeed, and it's ironic, companies like Microsoft in West Texas are looking at over 11.5 million tons of emissions annually, more than all whoever's pumped.
That's a tough stat to swallow, but does that mean every permit equals more smoke?
Not every permit means full emissions. Air permits reflect worst-case operation scenarios, but real-life running conditions tend to be less severe. Yet even reduced emissions could outdo Norway's total from the same year.
Hold on, did you know new gas projects at these 11 campuses could collectively surpass Morocco's entire emissions in 2024?
Yeah, it's wild. Even more staggering, some projects are developed under the Stargate initiative, representing a big emissions bombshell, with over 24 million tons a year in just three projects.
Stargate sounds like they're opening a portal to carbon heaven, but are some companies trying to do better?
Many, like Meta and Oracle, claim to link fossil fuel projects with promises of future clean energy shifts, but these pledges often seem more public relations than progress.
It's like having your cake and claiming it'll be organic someday. Are there many chances this won't get worse?
It's possible not all permits will lead to built facilities. Construction challenges, cost fluctuations, and resource shortages occasionally slow these plans. Still, if they persist, emissions could multiply tenfold, according to some researchers.
Well, that's a wake-up call. So data centers are like mini factories now. It's a good thing AI doesn't yet think for itself in terms of sustainability.
Not yet, but there's a complex game of chess happening here, balancing speed, demand, and our environment. It's a lot to process.
Speaking of balancing acts, our next story dances through the checkmark supply chain campaign with Bitward and CLI getting caught in the skirmish. Stay tuned, it's code cracking time.
So Jamie, Bitward and CLI has been compromised in a supply chain attack through checkmarks. This really puts a spotlight on vulnerabilities in our password management tools.
Yikes, compromised password management sounds terrifying. How did this happen exactly?
Attackers exploited a GitHub action in Bitwarden's CA/CD pipeline. It's a classic case of using legitimate infrastructure for nefarious purposes. The malicious action specifically targeted Bitwarden CLI version 2.0.26.4.0.
And isn't that supposed to be secure? Why does that matter so much?
Here's the sobering part. This particular version is used by over 10 million users and more than 50,000 businesses. So it's not just a needle in a haystack, but a massive target.
Wow, that's a huge exposure. What's the impact here beyond just the embarrassment?
Let's dive in. The malicious code, BIDW1JS, mimicked legitimate functionality to siphon credentials. Essentially, companies trusting Bitwarden for security suddenly found a glaring vulnerability.
Siphoning credentials, how severe is this, really?
Oh, it's severe. Users need to audit CI logs, rotate exposed secrets. It's not a just update and forget situation. It's essentially a mandated overhaul of trust.
Every secret at risk. This sounds like a nightmare for enterprises.
Exactly. Businesses need to scan for unauthorized repository creations and suspicious GitHub workflows to ensure no more tampering.
And do we know who's behind all this?
Attribution's murky, although elements align with Checkmark's known setup. Team PCP claimed responsibility. Interestingly, the attack had a sci-fi twist, referencing the Butlerian Jihad.
Oh, intriguing. So it's part mystery, part sci-fi. Any word from Checkmark's on fixes?
They're actively investigating and advising users. Fascinatingly enough, this attack only impacts the specific CLI version, a small window considering the widespread user base.
So, a silver lining. Does this mean the rest of us are safe?
For now, parts like Bitwarden's Chrome extension and MCP server aren't affected, but it's a reminder to tightly control access and development scope.
Sounds like everyone needs to stay hyper-vigilant. It's like your house is locked, but the garage door is wide open.
Ha, precisely. Tightening token scopes and permissions can fend off damage in the future.
Got it. We really can't let our guard down. Speaking of vigilance, what about the next story with Palantir employees? Are they starting to wonder if they're the bad guys now?
Today, we're diving into a complex issue that's made some tech employees seriously question their roles. Palantir employees are increasingly worried about the ethical implications of their work.
Right, and why now? What stirred things up to this level of concern?
It started with Palantir's deepening involvement in controversial government projects, particularly under President Trump's second term. Employees are questioning whether they're enabling activities that go against civil liberties.
That sounds intense. So, what's causing the biggest uproar among them?
For starters, Palantir has been known as the tech backbone for several immigration enforcement activities, pushing employees to feel they might be complicit in draconian immigration policies.
Complicit, as in they could be helping in things like deportations.
Exactly. Their software has been used to identify, track, and deport immigrants, particularly through contracts with the Department of Homeland Security, which is concerning to many staff members.
Wow, I can see why that might lead to some sleepless nights. What has management's stance on these internal concerns been?
Management's response has been mixed. They offer statements emphasizing a culture of internal debate, but often redirect tough questions or give philosophical responses that leave employees unsatisfied.
So these debates aren't necessarily reassuring for the employees involved.
Correct. Many feel it's more lip service than actual engagement. They had incidents where sensitive Slack channels were wiped, supposedly to prevent leaks, but this just added to employees' frustrations.
I imagine that doesn't help build trust. What about other recent events? Anything that exacerbated the situation?
Definitely. For instance, after the violent killing of a nurse by federal agents during protests, employees demanded clarity on their company's role with ICE, but found management's responses evasive.
Evasive responses to such a critical issue could tighten tensions even more. And aren't there broader implications about how their tech is used?
Yes, there was also controversy around Palantir software possibly being involved in military strikes, drawing employees' concerns about civilian casualties. The fear is that their work might contribute to loss of life.
That's a heavy burden. Has the leadership taken any significant steps to address these ethical concerns?
Well, leadership organized a few Ask Me Anything forums, but these haven't fully addressed concerns. The feeling is that they're still on a sharp path to expanding contentious contracts, especially with ICE.
So, not much change then. What about the recent manifesto they published?
That was another flashpoint. The manifesto, which reduced Karp's book to 22 points, had elements that some workers found quite alarming, like suggestions about reinstating the draft.
Employees must have had a lot to say about that internally, right?
Absolutely. It created a whole new wave of scrutiny and dissent. People were concerned that such messages make it harder to support the company's mission inside and outside the US.
So, circling back to your initial point, it seems like Palantir's internal debates aren't just philosophical. They're hitting on real-world consequences.
Precisely. Employees feel like they're not just caught in debates, they're questioning their own ethical standing in the work they do every day. It's a literal internal identity crisis playing out.
It's rare we hear such an open internal conflict inside a company, especially in tech. What's next on our agenda?
All right, Jamie, if it's hot take time, I have to go with the greenhouse gas story. It's wild to think our data obsessions might leave the emissions footprint of a nation. That's a wake-up call.
Totally. For me, it's Palantir. Employees questioning if they're the bad guys. That's some deep dystopian pondering.
True. It's not every day your moral compass points towards, are we villains?
Yeah, makes you wonder if anyone's rewatching those old superhero movies for clues.
Well, that wraps up another tech-packed episode of Hot Reload. We kicked it off with Claude's new app connections, like turbocharging your digital life.
Then we dove into data centers giving off more emissions than some countries. A tech wake-up call, indeed.
We also flagged the Bitwood and CLI's compromise due to a checkmark supply chain attack. Stay vigilant out there, folks.
And of course, we ended on Palantir employees questioning their corporate ethics. Definitely thought-provoking.
Thanks for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, leave us a review, or share this episode with a friend.
We'll catch you next time. Until then, keep reloading those hot takes.